Morning, everybody. How you doing this morning?
Good.
Lloyd always says great. All right. Well, I'm Pastor Cliff Eckhart. I got Dennis laughing already. Yeah, Cliff grew hair just overnight. What we're going to talk about today is pretty much classic Rick Collins. You know, this is just my understanding of God. When God gives me a message or Cliff reaches out and asks me to preach, I only have really one directive from the Lord, and that is tell him, if this was your last sermon ever, tell him what you would tell him. Okay? And if this is my last sermon ever, this is what I would tell you, right? Boy, I wasn't planning on saying that. All right. We never know the curves in the road, do we? We never know what's ahead. All right. Okay, so how to always get what you want. Anybody here interested in that? No? All right, we can go home then. No, I would say this is at the root of pretty much everybody's life. How can I get what I want, right? And so it's really pretty simple, and I'll tell you the answer to it right away. It says, delight in knowing and living God's way, right? So it's pretty simple. I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple, right? If you live God's way, and I'm going to prove it to you today, if you delight yourself in knowing and living God's way, you will always get what you want. All right. Boy, we've got all kinds of screens here. Okay, when back in 79, 80, I was in a denominational church, just got out of seminary. I was having a nervous breakdown because it was not me to be in that denominational setting. I could not preach what they wanted me to preach, and I was just in constant conflict. We had a little baby. I was having a nervous breakdown, and I had all the shades pulled. We lived in this little town called Parryville. We had come from Pasadena, California. Everybody knew what we owned because our moving truck had come in. Anyway, I'm getting off the subject already. Anyway, I had all the shades drawn, and I was having what I would consider, I wasn't a professionally diagnosed, but I would consider myself to having a nervous breakdown, because I was like, what in the world have I gotten myself into here? And I got up off the couch, went and flipped open my Bible, and it fell to Psalm 37. And particularly, my eyes went to Psalm 37, verse 4, which we're all going to read aloud together now. Ready? Are you ready to read aloud and together? All right. This could well be the most important scripture you will ever memorize. You ready? Here we go. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How simple can it be? I'm there broken down, and I'm reading this, and I'm like, God, how can this be? And he said to me, this is like in my head, but I heard him say it. So, Rick, what do you want? You have delighted yourself in me. What do you want? And I said to him out loud, God, I've only ever wanted three things. See, I've thought about this. I would love to be a part of a church where people really loved each other instead of killing each other. Seemed impossible at that time. Two, I said, I always wanted a log house in the woods. And three, I've always wanted to be financially independent. And you know what God said to me? You've got it. What? Here I am, $8,000 in debt, having no, from going to school, right? Having no, anyway, I think all that might be on a video on the website. I'm not sure if it is or not. But anyway, when he said, you've got it, then all of a sudden, I mean, I won't say all of a sudden, but I had hope. I had light. I had somewhere to go. I had something to do. Whoa! Really, God? This is my future? All right. It's not going to be this deadpan church in this deadpan town. If you're from Parryville, forgive me. like I said, I said to Deb this morning, I always manage to say something to offend somebody every time I talk. I have no idea how I managed to go 44 years because... Anyway, let's look at the context of this. Let's look at the context. Because most people, in striving to get what they want, and we're going to be talking about this a lot, they do it the world's way because that's the way you were raised, that's the way you think, and you have not really restructured your way that you think and the way that you feel and what you do by God's word. You're still doing what you saw everybody else do when you grew up. Ready? Here we go. Do not get upset because of evildoers. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, all right? So I had just, why was I having a nervous breakdown? Well, the boards of the three churches that I had told me, we didn't have anybody like you and that lasted beyond Christmas, you know? And why aren't you wearing a collar when you walk out in the streets? And why don't you do this? And why don't you do that? God says, don't be upset about the evildoers. When I read that, I saw their faces. From my perspective, they were the evildoers, and God said, don't get upset about it. It's so simple. Let's read on. For they will wither quickly like the grass and decay like the green plants. 44 years in the ministry, I have seen so many people wither and die. All these things could be another whole sermon, couldn't they? You don't want to hear those stories. Well, you do want to hear them, but I don't have time to tell them. Here we go. Trust in the Lord and do good. This is going to become really important because I'm going to be talking a lot about how to get what you want. And, all right, trust in the Lord. Everybody say, trust in the Lord.
Trust in the Lord.
And do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Here I am broken down, and I'm like, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this place if it's the last thing I ever do. And then I don't know how many times there was that once, and I'm not telling you my whole story, but once we started the church, it had less than 3 years, it was mayhem. You know, we had I can't talk about it. But I was ready to go again. And in fact, my dad, every 3 years, he was a minister, he'd leave every 3 years. That was what I was raised with. When he, you know, you go. So every 3 years you go. And live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. In other words, stay. You gotta grow roots to bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit running from here to there. That's another whole series. Okay. Here we go. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I like to always work backward with logic. If you're not getting the desires of your heart, it's because you're not what? Delighting yourself in the Lord. I'm here this morning. It's cold outside. It's calling for snow. I'm delighting myself in the Lord. I'm not the judge of that. But I can tell you this, that if you've got desires in your heart and they're not being fulfilled, something's breaking down somewhere, and I can tell you exactly where it is. You're not delighting yourself in the Lord. Here we go. Commit your way to the Lord. These things sound so simple and so easy. Most of us want something, and we're all frustrated and fretted about it, and I committed that to the Lord. Well, then why are you fretting? Then why are you anxious? Then why are you awake at night? Well, you know, all right, trust also in him, and he will do it. I'm telling you, here's where we're going with this. I'm telling you that God wants you to be in a place where you're getting the desires of your heart happening to you before you even knew it was a desire of your heart. That's how good he knows you. That's how well he knows you. And when it happens, you're like, oh man, I can't. God, you're so good. He will do it. All right. He will bring out your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. For years, I used to be on the North Track because of the decisions that I had made, very unpopular. And this verse would always come back to me. Rick, just persevere. Just keep cultivating faithfulness. Just keep persevering. Just keep doing what I told you to do. And sooner or later, people will see that you were right. We all want to be right, don't we? I mean, we're all right in our own eyes. I can see you're not enjoying this. All right, here we go. A verse we use a lot here because I believe it just reveals the two great powers in the universe that are at work on you. Ready? John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they would have life and have it abundantly. So there are two powers in the world. The one wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and the other one wants to give you abundant life. I mean, you have to define what you believe is abundant life. What are your expectations? What do you expect out of life? I'm telling you right now that there are two ways, and we're going to see this more and more. There are two ways to go about getting what you want. And the one way, if you have not committed your life to Christ and committed your way to the Lord and delight yourself in Him, then you are following the way of Satan, who, sooner or later, what you want, if you get what you want, is going to hurt somebody, kill somebody, or destroy somebody. Probably your marriage. Maybe your kids. Who knows what's going to be the aftermath, the bodies along the road of your journey, trying to get what you want. All right, so how to always get what you want? Do you know the source of your desires? So you have to let God put the desires in your heart. And as you delight in Him and His ways. So, I mean, you know, we talk all the time about reading the proverb of the day, keeping a journal. You know, we talk about basic disciplines of life that allow you to communicate with this God who made you, allow you to hear His voice, allow you to speak to Him. And in this relationship comes out of it a most basic confidence, I'm delighting in the Lord. But if you get up in the morning and take off and don't, you know, and okay, I guess I'll go to church this morning. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you're not delighting yourself in the Lord. You're not delighting yourself in His kingdom. You're not really interested in what He's doing and what His agenda is. Like Cliff and Jen said the other day, getting on the God train, you know, is anything that you're, you know, are you like, God, what are you doing today? Help me get involved in what you're doing today. Lord, what are you doing at church? Help me get involved. Lord, help me hook my caboose to your train, Lord. That's delighting yourself in Him. It's a communication. If you're married, believe me, your spouse knows whether you delight yourself in them or not. And if you don't delight yourself in them, it's not going to end well. Okay, look at what Jesus said here. Let's read together Matthew 6:33. I mean, some of these verses are just so basic. Remember, this is my last message ever if I die tomorrow, right? What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How to always get what you want? Seek His kingdom first and His righteousness. You're in a situation, God, what would you do here? Jesus, help me go through. Well, Lord, how should I react? You know, seek his righteousness. Seek his kingdom. Make a difference in the world. Not us four no more. Make a difference in the world. For Jesus' sake. Jesus said, if you'll put me first. One of my favorite passages. I don't even have it up here. Just it's coming to my mind. Because in the Proverbs, it says, every good master takes better care of his servant than even his son, so don't obey him. And I've said over and over, every time I've come across that passage, I say, God, I'm your servant. And he said, yep. Am I taking good care of you? And then, yeah. And this is something he has asked me this many times. He says, Rick, what have you ever wanted that I haven't given you? And I'm like, there has to be something. And then when I would come up with something, he'd say, yeah, but, and I, oh, yeah. We're going to get to that in a minute. All right. So anyway, I mean, I'm telling you, getting what you want all the time is not difficult. It's simple. You just got to seek God first. Everything else, I mean, he knows, like Jesus said in the same, he knows better than you what you need to be happy, to be fulfilled. How to always get what you want. And this is why three, is it really, this is the next one? Okay, good. This is why three witnesses is so important, to know what your desire, to know where your desire is coming from. Let's read together 2 Timothy 4:3. Hey, where's Dave and Deb? I see him. you'll see what I mean. All right, we can do it. See, let's go back one here. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All right, I saw Colin. Now he disappeared again. Come on in, Colin. Here, this is my grandson. Hey, Owen, look who's up here. Owen. He's like, oh, I can't go the steps at home. Hey, bud, how you doing? Huh? Yeah, you know who I am. I want you to all meet Owen. Owen is 3 months old, 3 months and a week. This is Colin. Say hi, Colin. Didn't comb your hair this morning, huh? I did because Nancy made me. Mom. We're going to be talking about this because, you know, isn't he a beautiful dog? He's just gorgeous. Well, when I see that dog, I lose track of everything. You know, God said, what, you know, delight yourself in me, you have delighted yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. What do you want? Now, one of the things, and I want to talk a little bit about nature and nurture, okay? And I know you're just like, what, Rick? I was the youngest of three, right? I grew up hearing all my life, you always get what you want. Anybody else here the youngest of only? Okay. How many of you have siblings? Okay. Did you ever hear from them, you always get what you want? Okay, a bunch of you did. All right. Well, and, you know, here's the thing, you know, and Lord, help me here. I have no idea, you know, how you're hardwired. Nancy tells me I'm hardwired as a choleric. I don't know if that's true or not, you know. I mean, if Nancy said it, it must be true. You agree. um, on the other hand, there's nature, which is like, if that is my genetic code, then that's what it is. And then there's nurture. And that's become, you know, the youngest child who just learns how to manipulate things and get what they want. And as I was over there listening, you know, and just worshiping the Lord, and I said, Lord, just download to me what you want me to say today. He said, I want you to tell everybody that to me, they are my youngest child, and they will get what they want. To the Heavenly Father, you are the youngest child, and you'll always get what you want. Now, I know if you're not a youngest child, in your brain, you're like, tilt, tilt, tilt. Because nurture has done such a deal on you that you don't even comprehend what that means. To have such a confidence in your parent that you can say, I want that. And they're like, not right now. And you're like, yes, right now. And, you know, whatever kind of parent you had, but you don't quit. You know? You walk down there, Dad, I really want that. Well, I already told you we can't get it right now. Yep, and you know, the next day, Dad, I really want that. You know? It happened. Dad, I want you to take me fishing. Dad didn't. He was not a fisherman. You know, I pestered him for days, for weeks. Finally, he said, okay, let's go fishing. I'll take you fishing. That's what a youngest child does. That's what God wants you to do. I know I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but if God put that desire in your heart, when it comes to fishing, hunting, outdoor stuff, right? If it's not going to hurt anybody else, if it's not going to kill, destroy, kill, you're going to hunt. But, you know, if it's a good, positive thing, and you have a desire in your heart to do that, God put that desire there. That's who you are. Did God put any desires in your heart, Colin? You like to hunt? Yeah. Fish? Yeah. Hold a dog? Yeah. Who knows? Nobody knows, but you and God knows what He's put in your heart. The desires He's put in your heart. Anyway, to fast forward a little bit here, I don't know what, there's no clock back there. There used to be a clock back when I used to preach. They always had a clock there. When does this service end?
When you're done preaching.
When I'm done preaching. No, that's second service. No, it was a real question. When does the service end? 9 o'clock? Oh, 10 o'clock.
Live stream goes off at 10:05.
Oh, live stream goes off at 10:05. Okay, then I can say what I really mean.
That's second service.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I don't want to get too deep into this story here, but anyway, you know, back in the when we first moved to Perryville, somebody in the church gave us a little English Setter puppy, and so we had this puppy, and I loved that dog, and ended up raising English Setters, and then they all died, and then we got another dog, Olivia. Anybody here remember Olivia? Yeah, she used to come down in church and walk around and go back out again. Yeah. And then she died in 2007, and then Nancy and I are like, you know, we've had dogs all our entire lives. I think we're just going to travel and enjoy and just let our kids and the grandkids bring their dogs, and then that'll fulfill our dog need or whatever you call it. And so anyway, I started hunting with Jim, and he brought back all these memories of bird hunting with dogs and stuff. And I don't even know how it happened. Well, Colin was there, and he kind of put the bug in my ear. Grandpa, we really need a bird dog, you know, right? And the other kids were, yes, we need a bird dog. And I said, well, you know, I don't know. My mom and I, we agree we're not going to get a bird dog. We're not going to get any dogs anymore. And anyway, hey, Owen, what's up? What's up, bud? So anyway, did we get a bird dog? So anyway, let me just fast forward a little bit here. I have no idea when we're going to get to this. Oh, there it is.
That's going to be a long second service.
So anyway, but my point, and I'll explain this better, But, you know, this is, so, you know, I realized that we had agreed we're not getting any more dogs, right? But the grandkids want one, right? And whatever the grandkids want, the grandkids get, right? Has nothing to do with me whatsoever. This is a totally selfless desire. But anyway, so Nancy and I, you know, we sat down, and this is what I want to say, and I'm going to go back to this in a minute, because you've heard me say over and over again, I do not believe, no. Everybody say no. I do not believe that no has any place in a healthy relationship. As far as God's concerned, the answer to you is always yes. Now we're going to show you that scripture in a minute. But you have to understand, the Bible also assumes that you're delighting yourself in God and doing all that you can to please Him and love His and live His way. Right? I mean, if you're one of these persons, you know, who's always, you know, doing, well, we'll see, you know, but just, you know, filthy, dirty stuff, trying to steal, rob, and destroy, you know, God's not going to do that. But if you're trying to live His way, the answer is always yes. So anyway, there's always has to be a way. And so we sat down and I said, okay, what are your objections to having a dog, right? I'm not going to go through all these, but you probably already read it. I know you're not even listening to me. I put something up there and you're like reading it. All right, go on, Rick. But there were some major obstacles there. And but I know what I wanted to say. I love this. As Nancy says, well, you always get what you want anyway, so go ahead. And that's not the first time she ever said that. That's a part of our relationship. Rick, you always get what you want anyway, so go ahead. And you might be listening to that and thinking, oh, that's really nasty to say that. When I heard that, I'm like, I'll wear that as a badge of honor. You're right, because that's God's way. We always get what we want. As far as God's concerned, He will always get what we want. Now, the question is, what if I want something, how is it going to affect other people in my life who might be negatively affected by it? Nancy says, well, if you get a dog, I mean, this floor that we have, every dog scratches it all up. It'll be a mess. We'll replace the flooring. Well, you never sweep. You lift your feet up so I can sweep underneath. I'm like, I'll sweep the house once a week, and the grandkids will sweep also, which you have not done yet. Anyway, all these things here, and everybody signed it. And then Maya was like, well, I didn't get in on the contract, and so we had to put Maya up there also. So Maya's in the contract also. But once you sign, you're like, okay, we have taken care of all of the objections. We have signed an agreement that we're going to do this. So let's go. All right. Have you had enough of Owen? No? Hey, let's see if he'll do something for me. I love this dog. Come here, buddy. Here. Hey, don't forget it, Colin. Heel. 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 Owen, wait. Wait. Don't look at them. Look at me. Wait. Wait. Okay. Good boy.
I have treats.
You have treats. Oh, you can give him a treat if you want. Yeah. He even pees and poops on command where I take him. I needed another hobby. All right. Thanks, Colin. I appreciate it. Everybody give a hand to Colin there. Okay. Oh, he doesn't like... at home, he's not allowed to go on steps. He's not allowed to go upstairs. You can pick him up if you need to. All right. So, So we're just going to run through this real quick here. Okay. So Let's read together Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. All right, so what you just saw up there, that contract, that is an agreement. If two people can agree. See, now here's how most people go about life, and I'm not even probably going to get to that scripture in James, but you fight, you quarrel, blah, 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 you know, because you're fleshly. Getting what you want is not about quarreling and fussing and fighting. It's about sitting down and saying, okay, this is what I would like to do. What are your objections? How can we fix that? That's why I love Donald Trump. You're looking at me like, what did he just say? Is that on live stream? I mean, he believes that you can always make a deal. You believe that you can always figure out what the objections are and solve them. To me, that's the most basic thing. Believe me, when I was young, we can't go back there, can we? But I was like, this is how it's going to be. Everybody's like, goodbye. All right. So anyway, God's way is always a win-win. I wonder if I... Okay. We're just going to keep going on here. So God's way is always a win-win. It is not a cost of someone else. Okay? I have spent, you've heard me say this before, I've spent dozens of hours, certainly hundreds of hours, I don't know about thousands of hours, sitting and listening to couples argue, fuss and fight, and it always comes down to you want something, you want to live your life in a way that costs me dearly. It's not a win-win, it's not God's way. If it's going to be God's way, both people are going to come away thinking, now that was a good deal. I got a new floor. I got somebody to sweep my house. Right? Poor Rick. Oh, Rob had to bring up, yeah, I had to agree, I'm only going to buy one gun a year. There's always a way. Right? Yeah. Colin needs a new one. All right. God's way is always moral, ethical, and agrees with his written word. God's way is never immoral, illegal, or fattening. Jack, hey, when Nancy and I were just married, we were living out in California. I was going to school. We would drive up the five to get up to Van Nuys, California, for Jack's last service. He had five of them every Sunday morning, and I'd never forget. He said, "This scripture, Matthew 20, is better than money in the bank." And Nancy and I, we looked at each other and we're like, "Wow, that's much better than money in the bank." And ever since then, we have grabbed hands. When we want something, we want to do something, we grab hands and we say, "Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask you for this." And it happens. You can't think in your head, "Boy, I hope I get that." Because Jesus' word says, if any two of you shall agree on earth, right? You're on earth, about that which they may ask. And that's a big one, may ask. I got to get moving here, 9:38. Everybody say, anything that they may ask. Anything that they may ask. Okay, here we're going to dig it. We're going to wade in a little deep. Okay, I spent 40-some, more than 40-some years in the ministry. And when I ask people, what's the most important thing that you want? It's almost always something they have absolutely no control over. So I'm gonna rub the bottle and say, "Okay, God, I want you to make this work. I want you to change. I want you to save my daughter. I want you to save my son. I want you to save my spouse. I want you to, you know." And we're rubbing and rubbing and rubbing things you have absolutely no control over. You say, "Well, of course, that's Christianity. We expect God to give us what we want. Even things that we have no control over." This is getting deep. Let's read together 2 Corinthians 1:20. "For as many as the promises of God are, in him they are..." man, that was weak. I don't. As many as the promises of God are in him, they are yes. Yes. My voice still is changing. Yes. Therefore, through him also is our amen to the glory of God through us. In other words, when God blesses us and makes these things happen to us, when I show up here with a little German short hair pointer, you know, that's to the glory of God. You can look and you can say, look at that cute puppy. God gave that to Rick. Wow, that's pretty neat. That's to the glory of God. Now look at 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let's cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I bring that verse up. That was a whole series that I did, okay? But it goes right back to delighting yourself in God, or are you delighting yourself in the defilement of flesh and spirit, right? So here's what I wanted to get to, the power of no. Most people are so used to hearing no, being told no, that no becomes the way that we control other people. I'll say it again. Using no is the way that we use to control other people. In fact, I would say after 44 years of whatever, I've talked to hundreds of people. I don't go anywhere I don't get stopped and say, hey, you're Pastor Rick. Yeah. What people want the most, and I ask this question a lot, and they'll go on with this and that and the other thing, but it always boils down to one thing, and that is control. I want to control my husband. I want to control my wife. I want to control my kids. I want to control my circumstances. I want control. That's what I want more than anything else. And guess what God says? No. If I gave you control, there'd be no trusting in me. There'd be no committing your way to me. I mean, you would. Okay, I got to keep moving here. I want to keep moving, but I also want to tell you a story. I referred back to when I first came into this area here and had three churches and they had boards. I don't believe in boards. That's another whole story, right? But anyway, on boards, especially church boards, people work their way on there because they're power hungry and they want to have the power of no. We never did that before. That's going to cost way too much money. Well, we always do it this way. Right? The power of no. And they have, and this is one of the things that, let's read together Proverbs 25:28. Like a city that's broken into and without walls, so is a person who has no self-control over his spirit. All right. What is that about? It's about this. You want control over stuff God's not given you control over, but you neglect and don't do the things God's given you control over. Like what? Like your health? Like your fitness? Like your relationships? Well, I'm already praying to change my husband. No, we're talking about what you can do about yourself. If you have sore ribs from your spouse elbowing you, elbow them back and say, work on yourself. Finances. Oh, I'm poor. I'm always going to be poor. I guess it's God's will that I'm poor. I wrote a whole book about that. Kind of a little cheap slide in there, right? We might still have a few copies. Who knows? But God's way to manage money, so it doesn't. But you know, habits and disciplines. Oh, I think I might have a little. My disciplines. Right. Every year I write out my disciplines. my daily disciplines, my weekly disciplines, my monthly disciplines, and my yearly disciplines or goals, right? So this is, you can see I've got little tabs over here. Probably goes back to, I don't know, this is December, you know, little tabs so that I can always go back real quick to what my goals were for the previous month and see, okay, now which one of these haven't been checked off? Should I put it in this month's goals or should I just say it's not even important, let's just forget it? Disciplines, habits, things that are so easy for us to do that God has said, do these things. And you're like, nah, I'd just rather rub the genie bottle. Let's read together. This is my brother's favorite verse, and he has pounded it into me. Ready? 1 Corinthians 9. Ready? Therefore, I run in such a way as not to run aimlessly. I box in such a way as to avoid hitting air, but I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. That should be a 26, not a 36. Self-discipline is the proof of faith and is key to always getting what you want. Say, well, I want this and I want that and I want the other thing. I want a log house in the woods too. Well, then, go get some land, cut down some trees, and build it. I can tell you right now, and I've said this over and over again, this usually gets me in hot water, but I like to say it anyway. What you have right now is exactly what you have had faith for before today. All right. Does God always get what he wants? Wait, you can't see it. It's a question. Does God always get what he wants? Why not? You can only get what you have control over. And I'm not saying control is like, okay, body, get fit. I'm saying write down, okay, I'm going to have to do this, 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 and this, and this is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to get fit, and I'm going to do it because I want to do it. It's a desire of my heart. Okay? Not even God gets all that he wants because he has no control over you or your salvation. You can pray, Lord, please bring somebody across somebody's path, and Lord, please help them come to the knowledge of, you know, and he's got angels and they can go to work and stuff. But I'm telling you right now that God does not have control over your will. And if you're live stream and you're, you know, if you're not a free will Baptist, you know, then you probably believe that God controls everybody and makes everything happen. And I don't agree with that. Because if that's true, then this verse says God's a bad God. If he can get people saved and doesn't, that means he wants people going to hell. See, I don't believe that. All right. Nevertheless, agree together in prayer. Okay, let me see. I know our time is up. It's 9:48. So we're 3 minutes over? Oh, 10. Two fives. All right, okay. I always get flustered when I'm up here and you're all staring at me. It's like... you're taking it in, yeah. You're trying to wade through it, right? Oh, man, we got 12 minutes yet then. Okay, so this verse is up here again because... this verse is better than what? Money in the bank. How often do you grab your spouse's hand and pray for specific things that you're specifying that's the desire of your heart? If there's one thing Nancy hates is when I just go and do something and don't talk to her first about it. She says, that's disrespect. I agree 100% with her. Do I never do it? You know better than that. Right? But still, I mean, you know, it's a valid point. So I just hope if you do nothing else when you leave this place and somebody comes to you and that you're close to and their life affects your life and they say, I would like to do so and so. I pray to God, your answer is not, no, that's stupid. or we don't have the money for that. I hope your response will be, you know something, I can see that's a desire of your heart. We don't have the money in the bank right now, but let's sit down and talk about a plan and how we can do that. Because you're important to me, and what you want, I want. Because I know what I want, you want also. And God's word says that whatever we agree on, it'll happen. He'll make it happen. It might take 10 years. It might take 20 years. Who knows? It doesn't matter. It's the journey. It's the relationship with Him. He loves doing this stuff with us. He loves it. You might think, you know, I know you probably think I'm weird, but I think when I got that puppy, I had no idea that puppy was going to be that good. I mean, that is a one in a million puppy. He looks at me like, how can I please you, master? Here's one you'll find. People find this funny. Before he eats, I put his food out. I have him sit. And I say, okay, now, Owen, let's pray. I thank you, God, for my food. I thank you that I have a good master. Help me learn and obey. Okay, you can eat now. I think that should be a prayer of all of us when we sit down to eat. God, thank you for this food. Thank you that I have a good master. Help me to learn and obey. Isn't that an awesome prayer? It's really working for Owen, I'm telling you. All right. So I'm telling you that when God says every answer is yes, it's because He wants us to agree. He wants us to talk. He wants us to be reasonable people. He wants us to be loving people. He wants us to be kind people. He wants us to be thinking about the other person's needs, which I would have to say I was to some degree when I came to the puppy, because I said to the grandkids, I don't think my mom's going to want us to have a puppy. We've already agreed we're out of the dog phase. And so then they started begging her and so forth and so on. And I forget where I was going with that story, so we'll just go on. But anyway, you know, it's... Oh, I know. There's always a way. There's always a way. When you love somebody, there's always a way. You want them to be happy. You want them to be fulfilled. That's how God looks at us. That's how we look at God. That's how He wants us to look at one another. How can I help you get what you want? Instead of, well, if you get that, then I'm getting something of equal value. Okay, good. There's no lack in God. I said there's no lack in God. Amen. All He wants you to do is say, okay, honey, let's pray together, and you're going to get those new shoes, and I'm going to get a new gun. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's a funny example, but it doesn't matter. But people won't pray. They won't talk to each other. They won't do the simple, easy thing that God's word says. If you do this, guess what? It'll happen. Your Father in heaven will do it for you. And you'll be going through life amazed at how He's throwing stuff at you. And you're like, man, I didn't even know I wanted that. But I did. Ask your Father in heaven. You do a word search on the word ask. Ask is a biggie. But let's read together Matthew 7:7. Basic Jesus teaching. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And those verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are in a Greek tense that means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Like that youngest child that you are of your Heavenly Father, just keep on. God loves that. I wonder if my next... Yeah, I love this verse. This is the verse I've used all my life when I'm talking with God and trying to get something. Because Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us debate your case. I have one granddaughter. Name's Maya. No matter what you say to her, she has a debate. And sometimes her mom says, Maya, stop making everything into a debate. It doesn't matter if I say, you know, my shirt's blue. She said, well, it's not really blue. It's more of, you know. And I say, I love that. I love when people want to debate. I love when they want to spar logic. Let's talk about it. Let's debate your case. See if you can prove it. And this is another whole thing. I'm not even going to get into the details, but there was something else that I wanted and didn't even know I wanted it, but all the circumstances just kind of worked out. And Nancy says, really? Is this the right time for that? So I wrote down 11 reasons this is the right time for that. And I handed it to her, and she says, that's a really good argument. I mean, come and debate your case. Have you learned to think logically? This, and this is why I should have this, and this, and this. Got to keep moving here. It's 5 minutes. Yeah, we're not going to do the final song, Seth. I knew you knew that already. Okay, James 4, 1 through 4. You know, this is how most people live. You find yourself in a quarrel and a conflict. You write down James 4, 1 through 4, and you meditate on that, and you realize, I am all about the flesh when I am quarreling and arguing and fighting and fussing and fretting with my spouse. Okay. How to always get what you want. This is James chapter 1. This is like I said, this is the last sermon I'll ever preach if I die tonight. And I want you to know, let's read James 1, 4 through 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Would you just please shout, ask! 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 Ask God! You know, I'm building this log house. I never built anything before in my life. And he says, I'm afraid I'm going to live in a shack with no electricity. I said, well, I'm just going to ask God for the wisdom. How can you start a church? They're closing churches every day. I said, well, I'm going to ask God for the wisdom. It doesn't really matter. Just ask. I'd be there in the middle of something, and I'm like, God, I have no idea what to do here. Couple of minutes, I'm like, oh, that would work. Anyway, he says, ask of God. Now let's read on. Who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Will it be given or won't it be given? If you ask, it will be given. Generously and without reproach. What does that mean? Well, okay, you're going to have a dog, but I don't like it. That's reproach, right? As opposed to, I'm so glad this dog makes you so happy, Rick. That's generously and without reproach. Amen. Is anybody here with me, or are you like, Pauline's leaving. All right, go. Don't leave mad. Let's read on. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is so important. When I talk about, Dad, take me fishing, please. Come on, Dad. I can't write. Dad, please take me fishing. Week later, Dad, please take me fishing. Dad, when are you going to take me fishing? A month later, Dad, would you take me fishing? Would you please take me fishing? So Dad's not like, well, I guess he forgot about it. He doesn't care if he wants to go. That's what God is. He wants to know if you really want this. Because if you really want something with all of your heart, then you're going to persevere until you get it. It's as simple as that. Until you get the directions, until you get the steps you need to do. And then how to always write it down. Journal, write it down. I know you get tired of us talking about journaling. Cliff resisted for years. Here's my journal, you know, with my little tabs on there. It's the handprint of God on my life. Let's read together Habakkuk 2:2-5. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision and inscribe it clearly on the tablets so that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hurries toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it delays, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay long. Behold, as for the arrogant one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. I'm telling you right now, this right here, writing it down, If you're not doing that, you're the arrogant one. I don't have to write it down. I got all that stuff in my head. I don't have to write it down. The righteous one will live by his faith. Writing it down, persevering, going back and saying, oh, that's a December goal. November, wow. I better put that over here on January. So, you know, I'm talking about this is how faith works. Faith perseveres. Faith says, this is something that I want, and I'm going to keep at it until I get it. That's what faith says. People of faith saying, no, that's going to cost too much money. No, that's way too hard. You can never do that. And you call yourself a Christian? I thought you were a person of faith. Faith says, I will do whatever it takes until it happens. That's what faith says. It's simple. If you don't have that, then you don't have faith. What do you have? You have instability and a double mind. That's what you have. Oh, well, we're not going to finish on that. What's that? Oh, my January 25 goals. Okay. That's it. Journaling. So, 10:01. Are you trying to get what you want the world's way? Quarreling, fussing, fretting, fighting, going behind the back of the people that you love, care about? Or have you committed your life to Jesus Christ and you're going to get what you want his way? Believing fully that he wants you more than you even want for you to get what you want. Why? Because he's a good father. Of course he loves to see your character develop. He loves to see you persevere. He loves all that. So which are you? Which way have you chosen to live your life? He who kills, destroys, or he who gives life abundantly? Because if you haven't chosen to live your life for Jesus, then I can tell you right now, you're living it the world's way, and the world's way is directed by Satan. And your choices will ultimately end up in somebody being hurt, and probably badly. If we could just bow our heads for a moment. Is there anybody here today who would like to say, Rick, today I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, and I want to commit my way to him, and I want to live my life his way? If that's the desire of your heart, would you look up at me and wave your hand at me? Because I want to agree together with you. I'm not going to put you, okay, I see you there. Thank you. Anybody else today up in the balcony anywhere who wants to make that decision today to commit their way to the Lord, to trust also in him and let him do it? Anybody else here today? Would you please pray together with me out loud and together? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for coming to show me a better way. You love me so much. You want me to have the desires of my heart. I commit my life to you. Show me how to delight myself in you. And then, Lord, when you're giving me the desires of my heart, help me to remember and say thank you. Amen. Amen.